Yes, hello, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you on the radio on a Friday. I can't believe we made it through the whole week, and it's a week which has featured everything. We got snow, we had winter driving, we had bands of lake effect snow, and both the north towns and the south towns got a chance to take part in that. And today we've got some rain and general yuckiness, and it is the 1st of December, which is it's one of those benchmark days, really. The 1st of December, benchmark day. It's almost like it's the not the actual, but the symbolic beginning of winter. Because I think of December and I think, oh, it's winter. November you can kind of justify as, well, it's kind of like late fall. But December, nah, I'm sorry. I know what it says on the calendar, but I also know what it says in my mind. And in my mind, winter has begun. Anyway, good to be with you on the radio. I want to pick up with something we got into a little bit yesterday, because we did a show on the charities, organizations to which you give because you have a special place in your heart for that particular group, that organization. Had a lot of interesting calls on that. But then we started to talk about it, and we just kind of ran out of time. And I want to get into this, and I don't really know how or whether this is going to work or whether it's going to be interesting or whether it's going to suck. And you guys will have to be the judge and jury and hopefully not the executioner on this. But those of you who have kids, possibly grandkids, what are you doing because you financially need to help them out? And the reason I bring that up, have you had any discussions in your household with your college graduate children who are very, shall we say, disillusioned by it all? Because they were sold a bill of goods by Big Sheepskin. Oh, you know, if you get a bachelor's degree over the course of a lifetime, you'll make $300,000 more than somebody without a bachelor's degree. And frankly, with the rate of inflation as it is, and colleges and universities typically increasing on an annual basis their costs twice the rate of inflation, I can understand why some people say, wow, I really don't know why I went to college. I have a BA in sociology, and I'm working, and there's nothing wrong with working in a coffee shop, but that's probably not what you had in mind when you went to college. Because, you know, there was a time when college was, I mean, look at all the old movies. In fact, you don't even have to go that far. The Godfather. How many times did Sonny Corleone call Michael college boy? And you look at a lot of older movies, and if somebody went to college, they were college boys. It's not like everybody was expected to go to college. And I also mentioned yesterday, I've mentioned this in the past too. My degrees are in history and communication. And had I spent an extra semester, which I had no interest in doing, I also would have had a major in English. But frankly, after 6 years, because I was on the part-time plan because I was working full-time, and frankly, I pretty much got a free ride to college because of a tuition reimbursement program that Taft Broadcasting, which owned the old radio station, had. So I was able to graduate from college without owing a penny. And believe me, there are young people today, I tell that story, and they don't like it very much because they're looking at ridiculous amounts of student loan debt for degrees that are of limited marketability. And I really think in this country we need a major investigation and a major overhaul in the way we think about how we are educating our young people. I don't think everybody should go to college. And Mark Epstein has talked about this with David Bellavia. Not everybody should go to college. And I would go so far, and I'm a little extreme on this, I would go so far as to say, unless you need the BA to get into medical school or nursing school, which I don't even think you do, could be wrong, unless you are going to use the BA as a stepping stone to the next degree, which will get you into a profession at which you can make some serious money, why bother? Why bother? And you know what used to frost my nads big time when I was a student at UB? And I should point out that I enjoyed my time at UB. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed the professors at UB, and I've told you this before, the New York City liberal Jewish professors, every single one I had took me under their wing. I'm serious. It was like, it was uncanny. I was like a teacher's pet. And the only reason is I was one of the few people who actually showed interest in what they were saying. You know, you'd look around, you'd see people with their heads on their desks, and you know, I'd be sitting there taking vigorous notes and sometimes actually asking the intelligent question. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And it was, look, it was a good experience for me. I must admit, I did not like walking across the Amherst campus of UB on a very frigid February day with the wind biting into my face, going right through my jacket. Didn't appreciate that very much. And the daily pursuit of a parking spot, that was never a lot of fun. But it was a good experience. But I do think that I am the exception, one of the exceptions to the rule, having done something with the degrees or the majors anyway that I had. I mean, I've got one degree, but several majors of that degree, if that makes any sense to you. So, but it's not this idea that college is for everybody. College is the be-all and end-all. I think it's a bunch of horse crap. I really do. And it was drummed into me. Maybe it was drummed into you, and I guess this is what I want to find out, at a very early age, because I was a little boy, believe it or not. At one point, I was a little boy, and they were putting up the dorms designed to prevent riots from forming. But they were building the dorms at UB. And I remember driving around the area, and my father basically was like, there's where you're going to college. It was just always assumed that I'd be going to college. And there was just never really an alternative for me. It was just expected that I would go to college, and I think that maybe things were a little bit different back then. Certainly the costs were a hell of a lot less than they were later on than they are today, especially going to a state school as a New York State resident. It was really inexpensive by today's absurd standards. But there are so many questions that I want to ask around this topic. Number one, I mean, I've done shows before on trade schools and people learning a trade, people becoming plumbers, people becoming electricians, people becoming carpenters, people becoming IT professionals. We've done shows on that. And basically, I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody who is in a trade who says, yep, it was a really bad idea getting into a trade. I mean, they're the ones who've got 50 trucks going around town with their names on them and making a boatload of money as electricians, plumbers, whatever. I mean, not all of them have 50 trucks. That might be a bit of an exaggeration. Some of the tree removal companies, I'm amazed at how many trucks they've got and often wonder what the payments are. But that's another story for a different day. I want to ask you directly, and I hope we hear from some younger people in the audience as opposed to the, well, I'm 75 and I'm 80. I'd like to hear from people who are a lot younger and ask, it was college and university, was it worth it to you? Was it worth it, or was it a colossal waste of time? And as I said, the notion that a bachelor's degree is somehow the gold standard of proving you are an educated individual without any further education, I think it's absolute horse crap. I think it's horse hockey. Was college worth it to you? Or do you think you would have been better off using that money and buying rental properties? I mean, you could own 50 houses right now and be renting them out and charging a lot of money for rent because, don't know if you're aware of this, not only are housing prices absolutely absurd and the interest rates are pretty much half of what they were when Jimmy Carter was president, which doesn't speak very well to what's going on right now, but getting an apartment. I mean, there are people getting into apartment bidding wars. I kid you not. And if you're looking for an apartment, I don't think that I am too far from the truth. And God forbid you want a three-bedroom apartment, you are going to pay through the nose. And I wonder how many people who went so deeply into debt to get a bachelor's degree would have been so much better off investing that same money in real estate 10 years ago. That would have been the smart move. Hey, nobody can see the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But in retrospect, I think a lot of you could have saved money and saved a lot of aggravation. Which brings me to my next question, which is something I asked yesterday, which is, do you have to financially subsidize your adult children? And I want to know about the conversations you had on Thanksgiving with the 20-somethings and 30-somethings in your life, or if you are a 20 or 30-something, are you ever going to be able to afford a home? This is a horrible time to, and it doesn't matter where you are in the country, it's a horrible time to try to find a home. Number one, the inventory is not what it typically has been. There's limited inventory, especially in the better neighborhoods, okay? Limited inventory. Number two, interest rates, ridiculous. Number three, the prices have skyrocketed, which is great if you're selling, but here's the problem. Let's say you sell your house for three times or four times what you paid for it. What do you think is going to happen when you go and try to buy your next home if you want to upsize into a large place? What's going to happen is you're going to find out that the extra money you thought you might have made on the house that you bought all those years ago is going to get sucked into this housing bubble that is going on right now. I'm curious where you are on this stuff. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's John in Tonawanda making sure the show doesn't suck. John, you're on. Hello.
Yeah, Tom. So I kind of got a perspective from both sides. So I went to UB. I finished in 2016 with a degree in biochemistry. And from all, you know, points, that degree did wonders for me. I'm making a great salary. It did fine. I think for college, we're at the point now where it's got to be a very specialized major. So we're talking degrees that you can't do at home watching the History Channel. So, like, you need a lab to do biochem work. You need a lab to be an engineer. You need a mock courtroom to be a lawyer. So I think, you know, the colleges with these fluff degrees, like, maybe not history, but certain, you know, name it studies, that really is kind of bringing down the value of the degree. Because, again, these are degrees that you can, I mean, if you wanted, if you were dedicated, you could buy six textbooks and you could become a gender studies major degree, you know, in 4 years, you know, in like your basement. But you can't be an electrical engineer because you don't have the tools. But the second point about the trades, I mean, the trades are good. You know, we absolutely need them. The trades make the world go round. But I have friends who have been in the trades now for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and they're looking to get some kind of degree to get into management because, I mean, let's face it, the trades, I mean, depending on what it is, you are kind of wrecking your body to a certain degree. You know, they're sore, their backs are killing them. And, like, they make good money, but they're like, I can't do this until I'm 60, 65. Like, forget this. So I do see why some kids, and it's not the best choice, but why they go away from trades because they see maybe their uncle or, like, their father, like, he broke his body, putting bread on the table. He was making good money. But unless you're, like, that higher up, like you said, the guy with the 50 trucks around town, for the most part, you're making an honest living really using your body. And some kids who are going to college are like, I want to be the fancy lawyer with the suit or the scientist with the lab coat making six figures, not killing myself.
I think you raise some good points. However, for every, let's say if you're going to be a plumber and you're going to be hauling hot water tanks up and down stairs all day because you got to replace those things every now and again, there's ways to do it and ways not to do it. And there are body mechanics involved in everything. Even, believe it or not, even something at, like massage therapy. If you don't use the right body mechanics as a massage therapist, you're going to run into back problems of your own, shoulder problems of your own, wrist problems of your own, such as carpal tunnels syndrome. And then it's easy to see massage therapists. There are quite a few people I know with whom I went to school. They practiced for 15 years. They had to get out because, as you said, it is a tremendous strain on the body, especially if your clientele happens to be rather large and muscular. It takes some energy. It takes some work. It was a great – I'll say this much. It was a hell of a good workout. The biochemical degree that you have, or biochemistry degree, well, what does your typical day involve? I mean, what are you doing, analyzing semen? I mean
I used to work in a lab that did biomedical research. I have since changed course to law enforcement. I mean, the degree got me great money in the lab, but the degree also got me the job in law enforcement as well. I would have stayed, but this job pays more money, has much better benefits. But if I didn't have the degree, I wouldn't be here right now.
So are you an officer? Yeah. Are you a patrol officer, or you work in a crime lab?
I'm what they call support, so kind of like analytics and things of that nature. Not exactly in line with biochemistry, but a lot of the analysis and kind of critical thinking is used. Back to the point with the trade and the I guess if we're trying to draw like a comparison between like the day of like a lab technician and a person in the trades, certainly like there are some days where like, you know, you have to lift like a 50-pound box or you have to do, you know, some maybe strenuous labor, but 95% of it is you're at a desk, you know, doing analysis or you're checking specimens. It's not as physically intensive, but, you know, you are right with, you know, some jobs, they might not be blue-collar trades, but like the massage therapist, I could definitely see how that would wear down your body.
Absolutely. Being a plumber, being an electrician. Hold on, I'd like to talk to you further about this because I want to get into this whole American dream thing. And are you ever going to be, if you don't already have one, are you ever going to be a homeowner? Because this is, I'm hearing this a lot from people in their late 20s, early 30s, who feel like they got taken for a ride by colleges and universities. And they're so deep in debt now, they have no ability to prove that they can afford a home, especially in this market. I'd like to explore that with you, Mr. Biochemist. And I guess I really wasn't that far off in what you analyze on a daily basis. And somebody's got to do it. It's 28 minutes after 2 at News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. All right. right, Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. So a couple of topics that I'm trying to fold into one here, and it's either going to really be awesome or it's going to suck. College, was it worth the investment? That's like number one. Was college worth the investment for you? And do you believe, those of you in your 20s, 30s, or who have kids of that age range, how many times have you had the discussion with them where they say, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to afford a house. How can I afford a house when I've got an $800 nut that I've got to crack every single month? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to John in Tonawanda, who has a degree in biochemistry, and now he finds himself a desk job at a in local law enforcement.
Yes, and to kind of go back through your checklist when you went through, like, the college workout for you and whatnot, for me and my cohorts, because most of my friends were in biomedical or some kind of medical field, they've all done well. Either they stayed in medicine or they've gone on to something else because they could use their degree. So for me, it worked out. I don't know many people who have liberal arts degrees, but I don't think they're doing as well, but I can't really say for sure.
Well, how can they? I'm sorry, but how can they be? I'm sorry, but with very few, unless you're going to be a teacher, what are you going to do with an English degree? What are you going to do with a history degree? Or for that matter, a communication degree? I mean, I am the outlier, okay? I'm one of the few, I think, exceptions, because I didn't use it, although I could have, to go to law school. No way I could have made it through medical school. That would have been too much. But the as far as the I think as far as the practicality of a bachelor's degree, American people and American students have been BS'd for far too long by colleges and universities with this with this notion of, well, if you have a bachelor's degree, you'll make $100,000 more than those who don't have a bachelor's degree. Yeah, and you're also going to end up with $70,000 of debt that you didn't have before you went there.
Yeah, and that sort of stat where they say if you have a four-year degree, you're going to make six figures. I'd like to know how many of those kids are going to Yale or Harvard and have connections and kind of, you know, heighten the pool of income, you know? I agree. I think the colleges really are misleading a lot of kids. I think colleges should be very specialized degrees. Again, ones that you can't do in your own basement, you know?
Let me give you another idea. Why does it have to be 4 years to get a bachelor's degree? Why can't it be 2 years?
I agree. Yeah. That would be a lot more cheaper. It's probably part of the whole income scheme for the college. But I mean, as far as I know, I think bachelors have been 4 years since Harvard was established, right? I mean, is that, I don't know, but I think that's kind of just how it sort of has been from the get go. But certainly
and
nowadays,
it should be reevaluated. I mean, your car in 2023 isn't the same kind of car you had in 1992. Things change. The employment market changes. So, okay, in your case with the biochemical degree, it obviously worked out for you. Now, question number two, which is applicable not only to you but the people in your cohort, how much complaining do you hear about, I'll never be able to afford a home of my own? And there are 20-somethings and 30-somethings who look at 50 and 60 and 40-somethings, and they're very, very jealous. They say, look at this house you've got, and how much did you pay for it? And they're blown away.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the housing. I know a lot of my friends, they're still young millennials. They're living in lost downtown. They're, you know, living the yuppie life in the city, but and I'm sure if they could, due to their degrees and their jobs, they could get decent houses. I had heard a lot of complaining though that the houses are expensive, and you know, I guess things kind of lined up with the planets with this call, because tomorrow We're doing the home inspection on the house my wife and I put an offer on. And it was a lot more than I wanted. It ended up being $277,000, and in 2020, the house was purchased for $190,000. So that's not making me very happy, but that's just how the cookie crumbles, I suppose.
Well, at least you got an offer accepted contingent on the inspection. And here's another thing too. These people, and I will never understand this unless somebody has a background in construction or electricity or plumbing or any of those trades that we referred to earlier. Unless you know what you're doing, why in the name of all that is holy would you waive a professional inspection by somebody who knows what they're doing?
Maybe they have connections. I have no clue. To me, I would never want to do that too. I would definitely have, well, we're going to have it inspected tomorrow. But that's ludicrous.
Is obviously propitious, or would that be serendipitous timing? What does your wife do?
She's a graphic designer. And that kind of goes too with the college question. So her degree is a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And what I learned recently is a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Fine Arts are kind of two different things. A bachelor's degree, like in English or art, is kind of more general on that sort of field. But a Bachelor of Fine Arts is like an actual skill you have to hone. And if you're a sculptor, painter, graphic designer, it's a very lucrative skill because it's very specialized, and you have to be good at it. You have to be a good photographer, a good designer to do well. And she does very well for herself too. So we're really kind of an odd couple in the sense of like the topic.
You definitely fit right in, but obviously you're doing very, very well, but the people in your cohort, you talked about the people living the yuppie life downtown, which I can't blame anybody for wanting to live a yuppie life downtown. I mean, sounds like it'd be fun. You don't have kids to worry about. You have to worry about sending them to school. And there's a lot of partying around, but there's partying no matter where you are in Western New York, because we're a drinking town with a football problem, as the old T-shirt said. But are any of them expressing a great deal of concern about, hey, at some point I got to grow up. At some point I'd like to have a family. At some point I'm going to need a house in an area with a good school system, but I don't know where I'm going to come up with $700,000 for a 3-bedroom home.
Yeah, no, they are definitely voicing concern. Maybe not as much as someone who's maybe making, you know, $40,000 a year, but, you know, they still don't want to pay an extra $150,000 on a house that was cheaper 3 or 4 years prior. I mean, I don't care who you are. If you're making $500,000 or you're making $250,000, you're making $50,000, no one wants to pay more. So there is concern, but again, they're doing kind of so well that they don't really care too much, but still, no one wants to pay more than what they have to.
Very, very, very interesting. By the way, totally off topic. I was watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries the other night, and there were a series of homicides that had been committed in hotel rooms. And as part of the forensics investigation, they had to do the black light on the the covering of the bed, and let's just say there were more stains than could possibly be analyzed, and I did have to laugh when I saw that. I mean, that's got to be a hellish crime scene to try to investigate. Like, what part of this do you cut, and what part is actually relevant?
Well, you know, it depends what you're trying to find, and, you know, some samples are more fresh than others. And there's ways to determine, but that requires a lab on-site. Analysis is not going to be very sensitive. Before you let me go, I also have a random question, too. It's December. We're going to be reaching December 30th, the anniversary of the burning of Buffalo, War of 1812. Do you have an update on that ground analysis with the site in your town?
Yes, I do, actually. And it was very disappointing because we did everything according to Hoyle. We were trying to find the grave of Jonas Williams, the founder of Williamsville. Before we did anything, we did ground-penetrating radar analysis, which showed four anomalies consistent with graves in the spot we thought the graves were going to be found in. And then we got the archaeology people, the professionals involved. They did digging. Nothing. Then we got in a big piece of equipment because the ground was very hard packed. Absolutely nothing. So unfortunately, we did not find the grave of Jonas Williams, his family, or anybody else. And it's so disappointing because we did everything according to how it was supposed to be done, and we came up empty-handed. And it sucks, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes you don't. And I'm very the experience. It was a great experience in many ways. But every time I watch the documentary on how they found the remains of King Richard III, who was killed at Bosworth Field in 1485, and that was also found by a bunch of amateurs. They found the bones, the first scoop of dirt they took out.
Of course. You know what? Thank you for doing the whole venture. You know, I appreciate it. And regardless, it's still a great experience.
Well, I was grateful for the many people who donated because it was not a cheap undertaking. But unfortunately, we did not find that for which we were looking. And again, all I can say is when you do all the prep work, and the analysis of the prep work, and we had ground-penetrating radar come, not once, not three times the ground-penetrating radar showed anomalies exactly where the grave should have been, and there was nothing. So I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And the goal was, I mean, it wasn't like a ghoulish thing. I mean, what we wanted to do is have the archaeologist exhume and analyze the bones, and we had secured a burial location, a proper burial location for the people we thought were there, but they weren't there. But at least all I can tell you is we did everything the right way. I mean, we did our research, we did our preliminary work, then we called in the experts, and we came up totally empty-handed. And like I said, I'm sure some of you are at least mildly familiar with a guy named Shakespeare. Well, he wrote a play, Richard III, The Tragedy of King Richard III. And for years, it was thought that Richard III's bones had been thrown into a river or otherwise just discarded like garbage because he obviously was not a very popular king. He only reigned for 2 or 3 years. But sure enough, an amateur devoted years of research and then convinced people to let her dig, and the very first excavation, there were the bones of Richard III, and there was not much doubt about it from the beginning because there was extreme scoliosis, which Richard III was known to have had, and in the play, he is referred to as a bunchback toad. They weren't very politically correct when referring to people with scoliosis back in the 1400s. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we did it. I'm very glad we did it. And the other site that we're looking at is the American encampment in 1814 in Williamsville. We have definitely found some things there. Absolutely, positively. Here's the problem. We thought we were going to find a lot more artifacts, but when they were developing, I don't want to bore you guys to tears, but when they were developing a certain subdivision very close to where I live, they bulldozed probably the first 6 to 8 inches of ground and moved it to Cheektowaga. They moved it to Garrison Park. And that's why at Garrison Park, we did find some musket balls. We found a button. We did find some of what had been at where the American encampment was in Williamsville. But a lot of it is it's just all over the place. If they just wouldn't have bulldozed it, we would have found a treasure trove. We did find a period lock, which was kind of cool. And we are pretty sure that we found the stones out of which the huts were made for the cantonment of the soldiers of the American Army. I feel very confident that we know the location, and there are some artifacts that support that. At least we found artifacts there, but there's a fireplace not too far from where I live that is absolutely period fireplace, and a well that is absolutely period, and I think we're going to be looking into that sometime in 2024. I'm probably boring the hell out of some of you. All right, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you or your kids believe that you are ever going to be able to realize and achieve the American dream of home ownership? And one of the things that I hear from a lot of people, young people and parents of young people, is that their kids are very concerned that they're never going to be able not just, and this is kind of freaky, they're never going to be able not only to buy their own home, they're not going to be able to have a decent apartment because of the student loan debt. And then you start thinking about the long-term effects on the economy of this country. I mean, what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years when we've got a bunch of 40-year-olds who can't go out and buy a car? They can't go out and buy a refrigerator. They can't go out and buy this or buy that. What's gonna happen? I mean, that's like fomenting revolution. But again, when you overemphasize, I think, meaningless education, you de-emphasize trades that people will pay you money to execute for them. And of course, you have the deindustrialization of an area like the Northeast, like Buffalo. These are problems that you could have seen coming 40 years ago, back in the 1980s. And you might, if you were alive back then, you might remember it was almost like every Thursday or Friday, like clockwork, some major Buffalo business was announcing, all right, we are shutting down and 4,000 people are going to be out of a job. 20,000 people will be out of a job. And this was a totally different area then than it is now. And now, obviously, the medical sector is very big, and it's big for a number of reasons, including the fact that we have an aging population. And the older you become, the more you find yourself in need of medical services. I would tell you a story about what happened with my hernia last night that you don't really want to know. It's got to get taken care of soon, because there are times when I get a flare-up and it's horrible. It's like one of the most painful things ever. But it's not strangulated, so there. So that's good. But, oh, my goodness, I'll be so happy when that is done. And by then, there's nothing. There will be nothing left on which to operate. Nothing at all. I'm like bionic, and that's not going to be like a long time off. Basically, I'm going to get the surgery done, and then the minute the anesthesia clears my body, I'll be back on the air. I can work through pain, but I think we've already demonstrated I can't work through anesthesia delirium. That's not a really good sound. I laugh about it now, and I laugh about it then, too, because, as I've said, I didn't do anything wrong. I just, except try to work more quickly than I should have. But it was, I'd never been taken off the air before, ever.
And that was the first and only time that has ever happened. And everybody knows exactly what that was. And that was the cervical fusion. And I tried rushing back to work. And my brain clearly was still pretty foggy. And, you know, it's funny because when I'm done with this business, that's probably going to be the one show I'm going to remember and laugh about when I'm 68 years old.